Please turn your Bible to Judges 6. Judges 6 is in page 261 of the Old Testament of the Pew Bibles. Judges 6, verse 11 to 24. And as you turn there, I'd like to give you some context. The Gideon story today begins much the same as those of Ehud and Barak. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And in chapter 5, we have a great song of praise after the victory of Deborah and Barak. And the land had rest for 40 years. And the book of Judges should have ended in chapter 5. But sadly, the pool of the Canaanite worship was too strong, and Israel broke God's covenant and reverted to its old ways. And a dark shadow fell over the land once again. The Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And this time the invaders are Midianites, Amalekites, and the people of the east. And Midianites and Amalekites are ancient enemies of Israel since the time of Moses. And unlike previous invaders, they came not to conquer and occupy Israel's territory, but to plunder. And Israelites are reduced to living like animals in dens and caves. And finally, Israelites cried out to the Lord for delivery. Now please pay careful attention to the reading of God's word. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broths he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of the God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock, and pour the broths over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprung up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray for his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your word and spirit. Lord, give us ear to hear and heart to receive your truth and apply in our lives. Bless the preaching of your word. We pray this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. How can a weak man become strong? Today in our story, we see a timid, doubting farmer, Gideon, and God's initial dealing with him. He learned to trust God, which translates into courage later. But great men and women are not made in a moment, because all human beings are born in sin, and our sins are holding us back so badly. Our sanctification is imperfect in this life. As the Westminster Confession of Faith said, "There abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part of us, and there is a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." We can be straightened in front of God's holiness, and we feel weak, unworthy, and useless in the calling that God called us. But God can make the weak strong. And today, we will see two ways that God prepares the man he uses: by divine companionship and divine assurance. So first, God can make the weak strong by divine companionship. Let's focus on verse 11 to 16 for now. Who is Gideon? Well, we see that from verse 11, he's son of Joash, and probably the youngest son of him. And later we know that he has his clan in Manasseh. And Gideon, his name means cut down in Hebrew, which reminds us of his destruction of the altar of Baal later in the story. What is this man doing? Well, he is beating the wheat in the wine press to hide. Well, if you have been to the farm, or if you grew up on the farm, you will know it is not a very effective way to beat the wheat in a wine press. You want an open ground, right? You want the wind to blow the skin of the grain away, and you get the grain. But a wine press is carved out of a rock. It's hollowed. So it's not very effective to beat the wheat in a wine press. And you can also imagine how little the harvest, and he can just do it in a wine press, a little wine press. Why? Because their grain has been plundered by enemies. And then in verse 12, we see the humor of God. God called this weak man, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And it makes no sense to Gideon. We see that it just brings all his frustration to the surface in a rush of anger. As we see the accusing words here, he said, verse 11, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. But the visitor will not be put off so easily. Instead, he turns to Gideon and gives him a direct command. Go in this might of yours and save the people from the land of Midian. Do not I send you? We see now Gideon is shaken a little bit, especially when the angel of the Lord becomes simply the Lord in verse 14. But he still responds with excuses. We see in verse 15, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my client, the wickedest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. That's his excuses. But the Lord is relentless. He is not moved by Gideon's anger, nor by his excuses. In verse 16, we see that the Lord said, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. You see, being weakest and least is no problem with God. And here, our God did not try to make Gideon feel good about himself, but said to him, do not I send you, and I will be with you. Because the key to success is divine commission and companionship. And there is a might in the consciousness of Lord's commission. And there is a greater might in divine companionship. Success is promised to Gideon because the Lord will be with him as he was Moses and Joshua in the past. Do not I send you, and I will be with you, have their New Testament parallel in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. I will read it here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this divine commission and companionship have been a source of strength and inspiration to many who, like Gideon, have been called to the Lord's service. Second, God can make the weak strong by giving them divine assurance. Let's look at verse 17 to 21 for now. And in summary, we see that now Gideon is being backed into a corner. He probably struggles within. How can I accept such a commission? But if it is the Lord who is speaking to me, how can I refuse the Lord? He must make sure now. So Gideon asks for a sign that will settle once for all who this visitor is. And his request is granted. The Lord waits patiently while Gideon prepares a meal for him. But when it is brought, he treats it like an offering instead of a meal. He touches it with the tip of his staff, sends it up in flames, and then vanishes. What's the reaction of Gideon now? Gideon is past anger and uncertainty too. He's scared because he knows at last that he's dealing with God. Verse 22, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. How foolish all his anger seems now. And how dangerous. If only he could retract his outburst about everything being God's fault. But it is too late for that now. All he can do is blurt out his fear like a condemned man. But then somehow Gideon hears the God he fears, who is still strangely present, and speaks his pardon. We see in verse 23, "Peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die." And now, God is everything and Gideon is nothing, except a profoundly grateful human being in the midst of war and devastation, anger, frustration, self-doubt, and the threatening future, which is still there. He has peace. So in verse 24, he builds an altar and calls it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. And it's this weak man's first act of faith, a kind of a concrete testimony to what he has learned from his encounter with God. God himself is his peace. Gideon is threatened by God's holiness. And Jacob and Moses know this threat. The Lord had challenged Jacob when he returned to the land from exile in Haran. You remember that two companies of angels met Jacob as he entered the land. The Lord had met Moses when he returned from the desert to save his people from the hand of Egypt. Facing God's threat, Moses had circumcised his sons. Have you ever recognized the threat of God's holiness? And maybe like Aaron and Isaiah, you came forward for eagerness and cheerfully obeyed him who called you. But I'm sure sometimes you feel you stand in awe of the greatness of the ministry and drew back. And feeling this, the lofty task is too great for this lowly servant. But do you hear the voice? Do you hear the voice? The tender voice of our good shepherd who is still present with you. On the evening of the first day of a week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. See my hand and my side. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." The Lord Jesus is still speaking to you now through his word and his spirit. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God does not forget his covenant people. The God Emmanuel is your divine assurance. Now let me bring this message to a conclusion. The judge failed. In chapter 8, God fades from the picture, and Gideon, having acquired power and status, reintroduces idolatry toward the conclusion of his career and takes Israel back to where it started. The judges could repel the invaders to deliver God's people for a time. But the sin of the people are so great that it takes God himself to come and deliver them. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, has come to take command of this spiritual war. He overcomes all the power of darkness so that he may save his people from their sins. He conquers and disarms Satan, the strong man, on the cross. And on the cross, the blood of the covenant is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. The battle has been fought and won. Jesus, the victor, ascended in triumph and now, at the right hand of God, rules all things. And now, God is using you and me to sound the trumpet of grace through the gospel. Though you are weak, but with the divine companionship and divine assurance, He will make you strong. As the scripture says, God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, increases strength. God is using you as his messenger to proclaim the gospel. And we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The world needs the good news, and the world needs to know the Prince of Peace. And now the trumpet of gospel is sounding. But one day, the last trumpet will sound to announce the return of our King. And before him, we will all fall down and say, "My Lord and my God." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your calling us into your service. Please be with us and give us peace and make us more and more like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us boldness to proclaim the gospel for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray this in our Lord Jesus' name.